Morning Watch, Living and Serving According to God's Economy Concerning the Church, Week 9, The Function of the Church, 2, The Corporate Manifestation of God in the Flesh. Tuesday, Related Verses, Colossians 2, verse 9, For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me does his works. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. So then we, from now on, know no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. John 1, verses 15 to 18. John testified concerning him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who is coming after me has become ahead of me, because he was before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. Related reading. God's good pleasure, God's heart's desire, is to have many sons for the expression of his Son, so that he may be expressed in the Son through the Spirit. For this purpose, God has manifested himself, first in Christ as an individual expression in the flesh, and then in the Church, the body of Christ, as the enlarged corporate expression in the flesh. Ultimately, God will be manifested in the New Jerusalem as the consummated corporate expression in the new heaven and new earth. In Colossians 2, verse 9, fullness does not refer to the riches of God. Instead, it refers to the expression of the riches of God. What dwells in Christ is the expression of the riches of what God is. We need to see that the fullness of the Godhead is the expression of the Godhead, and that this expression is in Christ individually. Christ is the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. This means that the fullness of the triune God dwells in Christ in a bodily form. The fact that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily means that it dwells in him in a way that is both real and practical. This implies the physical body which Christ put on in his humanity. It indicates that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ as the one who has a human body. Before his incarnation, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him as the eternal Word, but it did not dwell in him bodily. After he became incarnate, the fullness of the Godhead began to dwell in him in a bodily way. Thus, he is the manifestation of God, the individual expression of God, in the flesh. John 1, verse 1 and 14 also reveal that God was manifested in Christ as an individual expression in the flesh. Verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, this Word, which is God, became flesh. This refers to the incarnated Christ. In the beginning, he was not only with God, but he is the very God. The incarnated Christ is God manifested in the flesh. God being manifested in the flesh is God living a human life. The Lord Jesus was a real, perfect man to express the complete God. He was God manifested in the flesh to express the eternal infinite, invisible, glorious, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God through the mortal, finite, visible, inglorious man, limited in power, knowledge, and presence. Mortal is versus eternal. Finite is versus infinite. Visible is versus invisible. And inglorious is versus glorious. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and present everywhere. But man is limited in power, knowledge, and presence. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he expressed the divine attributes as his human virtues in all his actions. That expression of his virtues was the manifestation of God in the flesh. Outwardly, people saw him as Jesus from Nazareth, but he was God manifested in the flesh. When the Lord left the things in the tomb in good order, this was a testimony of his resurrection. When we exercise our spirit and do things in resurrection, this is a display of our Christian virtues. These Christian virtues are expressions of the divine attributes and are the manifestation of God in the flesh. If we do things in resurrection, many virtues will be exhibited, and those virtues will be the expression of the divine attributes. Thus, what we do will be a manifestation of God in the flesh. In the church life, God should be manifested in the flesh. Even though we are in the flesh, we should not live by the flesh. We should live in and by resurrection, so that God may live in our living, making us him in his attributes as our virtues for his manifestation.